This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
One of the key issues the ANC tackled this weekend is the issue of immigration and how people moved around Southern Africa. ANC NEC member of Home Affairs, Dr. Aaron Motsoaledi, said that the country needs an overhaul of the entire immigration system. What other policy direction is needed for the ANC to create a better South Africa? Well, we're speaking to Zimbabwean Exemption Permits Holder Association spokesperson, Advocate Simba Chitando. Let's bring Advocate Chitando into the conversation. Advocate, welcome to Power 98.7. Welcome to Power Perspective.
Thank you for having me. Greetings to your listeners.
And how are you?
I'm great.
Brilliant. Tell me something. In a conversation about immigration and policy around immigration steps that one needs to begin to take or is seen to be taken by a particular country, do you have a particular opinion about when it is xenophobic or when it is particularly just about a country trying to rectify the laws that it believes are lax? When do you think a conversation becomes xenophobic?
I think it becomes xenophobic when it targets a ethnic minority, a specific ethnic minority in the country. If you say you're going to have immigration reform that is universal and it affects foreign nationals, broadly, when I say foreign nationals, it affects foreign nationals from Europe, from Western nations,
or Zimbabwe, for example.
Nations. Yeah, but all the countries. Then we can say that it is not xenophobic. It is a genuine.
It's universal.
The application of the law. I'm a lawyer. Application of the law, blind of who the individual is. But when we target a specific ethnic group in that category of foreigners, then you are obviously being xenophobic. If you go and you say, I have a problem with foreign-owned businesses, and then you go into the community and you target Nigerian or Zimbabwean-owned foreign businesses, leaving German-owned businesses. We all see them. Mercedes-Benz dealership is right here. And you leave that, you leave the Mercedes-Benz dealership, but you go to a store, a shop that is selling less than what, in value, than what a Zimbabwean tuck shop is selling, and you target that, and you kill the person inside it, then that's xenophobic. Or you create laws and you apply the laws specifically for to target Zimbabweans, and you don't target an American shop, knowing that the Americans would react against South Africa very severely if they were to see one of their citizens being burnt alive, as what happened to a Zimbabwean gardener, Elvis Nyati, was burnt alive on, they took the video and it was shared all over social media. If Americans were to see that, if the president of America was to see that, we all know what would happen to South Africa.
So in essence, I understand that. Would you consider, and I'm glad you raised it in the way that you did, and also from a legal perspective, right? As you say, you're also in the legal trade. When you look at the exemption permits that specifically are directed to Zimbabweans and the holders of those exemption permits, and we have this particular conversation, and would you then begin to isolate the conversation and say, in the sense of what you were saying, that it is, in a sense, talking to specific ethnic minorities in the way that you described it or defined it just now? How would you then sort of characterize the conversation that's happening around the exemption permits in the Zimbabwean case?
The issue, an example of how they've targeted Zimbabweans.
Sure. Advocate, sorry, your line broke up there right in the beginning. Just repeat that for me.
Sorry. I said the issue of the ZEP,
yes,
is specifically targeting Zimbabweans. It's just the Zimbabwean exemption permit.
Yeah.
And I've always said that that permit has exploited Zimbabwean labor for more than 12 years.
Mm.
It has limited the rights of Zimbabweans under residency. It is, the ZEP is a residency, sort of a residency permit. It is not a visa.
Mm.
It is a permit that gives the holder residency in the republic.
Mm.
But they had all these conditions that were unfortunate. That, you know, you're a resident, but while you're a resident, you cannot change your job.
Mm.
So you had people in the country for 12 years, and in their passport, they have a condition that they cannot change their jobs.
Mm.
They cannot change their circumstances. Who in the world, after 10 years, is expected to stay in one position for 10 years?
Mm.
That is, it's callous.
Sure.
Well, I mean, it was actually 12 years.
Is that when you talk now about the limited rights?
Yes, the limited rights. If I was to tell you that you can go to America and be resident in America as entry-level jobbers, for instance, working at McDonald's.
Mm.
But the condition is, when you're working at McDonald's, you never change your job. You cannot go and work at a five-star restaurant.
Mm.
You cannot study. You cannot improve your life.
Mm.
Because that would threaten Americans.
Mm.
If I were to tell a South African who goes to the United States, that is the case. I mean, not even the United States, just here in SADC.
Mm.
South Africans go to other African countries to improve their lives, and that is something that is not a story that's not told. There are South Africans who are CEOs in Zimbabwe. The biggest mining company, Anglo Platinum, has a black South African leader.
Mm.
The boss of that company, a billion-dollar company, Zimbabwe's biggest resource, and it is being led by a black South African. But this is a black South African who has left South Africa to go to Zimbabwe for a better job, the best job. And that story is not told. There are many. Right now, the fastest growing economy in SADC is Zimbabwe. Nigeria is the fastest growing economy.
From a low base, though, I'd argue that.
Absolutely. Mm. That's why you still have Zimbabweans wanting to stay in South Africa.
Mm.
The middle income people, employees will have to stay. So you have a regional economy where the circumstances are different, and you have many South African engineers, mining engineers, who are gunning for mining deals in Africa, while at the same time, the ANC's taken a policy decision which puts their circumstances in jeopardy. The South African Employers Association, just a couple of weeks ago, I read, was saying that this was, you know, lobbying the government. They were saying that you are going to make it difficult for us to do business in Africa. And this is something that many South Africans do not realize, that the message that is being sent out at the moment is decidedly anti-African, and gradually the continent is beginning to form a negative sentiment towards South Africa, and retaliation is inevitable. I don't think of a snatty type retaliation. I'm a lawyer, but you know, I stay well away from that sort of thing. But economic policy retaliation, where the rest of the continent says, well, look, we need to do something to send a message. And that's already beginning to happen. And that would lead to job losses for South Africans, because what you rightly said, South Africa's got a higher base and it is the strongest economy in SADC. And it is the economy that is going to be, that is exporting goods. So when the rest of Africa stops buying what South Africa is selling, you lose jobs.
Sure. Here's a question. When a country says that its immigration laws and policies are weak, and begins to talk about, you know, policies from way back as 1960 or the 70s or whatever, and they're trying to correct that, and the kind of examples that they begin then to use and say, even in Zimbabwe, this is not even applicable. Even in the United States, this would not be applicable. We're just trying to correct, you know, what we have not corrected over time in this particular country, and where loopholes have over time, started forming, and people have been taking advantage of those loopholes. What then do you say to a country where in this particular instance, the ANC, for example, at its policy conference says to us that we might not have particular policy around this, but we can see where there are loopholes and we are just trying to fix our immigration policy around various aspects around immigration. What do you say to that aspect of the argument?
I'm critical to that, and I'll tell you why. Already, South Africa's immigration laws, this country's immigration laws, are a lot stricter than other African countries, other SADC countries in particular. They're a lot stricter. I'm assuming you're a South African national.
Yep.
If you were to travel to any country in SADC with your South African passport, you will not receive the same restriction that a person from a SADC country would receive when they travel into South Africa. South Africa's immigration system already is a lot tighter than the SADC region. That is where it is at the moment. Someone was talking to me, two other interviews today, and they were discussing the lawyers, the Concord decision about lawyers and foreign nationals.
Yes, because that's a recent decision that's just been made.
Recent decision, I think, was made yesterday.
Yes,
and I was telling the person, the two journalists that interviewed me, I was telling them that South African lawyers go to Namibia, Botswana, and Zimbabwe and practice easily with their rights. In the case of Zimbabwe, you write a letter to the Minister of Justice, say you want to do a particular case. They give you a limited work permit. You go and you do the case. That has been going on for decades. And I was asked, because I do work in both countries, legal work in both countries, I was asked about this in 2018. And the position that the Zimbabwean government took was, we are quite happy to allow South Africans to continue coming to practice law here, but the issue we have is they don't reciprocate.
Mm.
So the decision that was being considered at that stage in 2018 by the Zimbabwean government to specifically say no to South Africa. But in the case of Botswana and Namibia, you can go onto their website there, the justice website. There's a process you can follow as a South African who has never even studied law in Namibia and go and do a particular case there. But here, the regulations are extreme. Mm. So what you're going to have is a situation where South Africa is isolating itself. Its immigration policies are far tighter than the rest of the continent.
Mm.
And this is all against the Africa Free Trade Agreement, which is free trade of goods and services.
Mm.
So what you end up doing when you have even stricter policies that Dr. Motsoaledi is talking about, it's going to become almost impossible for Zimbabweans and Botswanans and Mozambicans and Angolans to do business with South Africa.
Mm.
And what would they do? We would be forced to do business with other people. And that decision, that would happen quite quickly.
Mm.
I'm already seeing now with Zimbabwe's trading partners, it was number one, South Africa is still number one, but very quickly Dubai and Rwanda catching up.
Mm.
And very soon we have a situation where we don't do much business, and we're definitely going to do less business with South Africa if Motsoaledi gets his way.
Sure. Advocate, I want you to hold on. We're going to have the news bulletins. I want to continue the conversation immediately after the news bulletin. So we'll take it a little further as well. Please stay with me. And we've got the news because it is 1 minute past 11 o'clock now. But after the news bulletin, an interesting conversation we're having from a legal perspective also around South African immigration laws. And I'm really, really glad that he has raised the Concord decision around lawyers wanting to be able to practice in this country, which was then rejected, because that aspect also comes into play around here. But we are talking about foreign nationals in general, and specifically around the Zimbabwean exemption permits. And I do want to ask Advocate Chitando, really, whether it's political versus economic sway, and or what then the law also is going to say once it is begun to be challenged. I am in conversation with Advocate Simba Chitando. He is a Zimbabwean Exemption Permit Holder Association spokesperson. And we're talking to him really about immigration laws, and particularly those that apply to South Africa and the rest of the continent, and particularly here in Southern Africa. And we're talking about that because at the policy conference recently, the ANC, suggested to us they don't really have policy around this, but they do want to fix the immigration laws that the country finds itself saddled with. And they are saying they are loopholed and can easily be, taken advantage of for various reasons. And then, the minister and whoever is speaking will give you examples as to how people can take advantage of that. For example, I was listening to Dr. Aaron Motsoaledi, and he was saying, when a South African individual marries a Zimbabwean individual, that person then, the Zimbabwean individual, almost has an automatic right to become South African by virtue of that marriage. And he was saying, this is not so much the case in so many other countries. And so we need to be able to shut the door on so many of these other things. Well, in the conversation now that we're having with Simba Chitando, he says that the Concord decision yesterday that denies legal practitioners from, amongst others, other African countries and or other countries to actually open and practice in this country is archaic and should actually be looked at, because other countries are actually doing it and other countries are allowing South African lawyers to operate their legal services and or take on cases in those particular countries. Well, let's have the conversation. But Advocate Simba Chitando, I'm going to hold you for a while. Welcome back to Power 98.7, sir.
Thank you.
Advocate, I'm going to take some calls, so I'm going to hold you for a while. I'm going to take some callers, and we can put that into the context then of the conversation. And then when we come back to you, you can, amongst others, answer some of the questions and then or raise some of the concerns that some of the callers have also raised. So let's go to Mandla in Johannesburg, the CBD. Mandla?
Good evening, Denzel, and good evening to your guest.
Eitabrur.
Yes, Denzel, I just have one pointed question to your guest.
Yeah.
And by the way, sir, there is no mutuality law. Whatever he's doing is not representing his jacket, he's representing the South African government. So stop trying to isolate him. It's very distasteful.
You mean I'm isolating him?
No, the advocate.
Okay.
He said if the mutuality law is passed, there is no mutuality law.
Okay. No.
He does not represent his jacket.
No, I understand. Because obviously he went to the conference and they are looking at specific, you know, aspects of the South African law, and the ANC policy conference says they don't particularly have policy around it. And so they reverting back to what he's trying to do and change the law in that regard. That's actually what's going on.
Yes.
Let's listen. Sure, Mandla.
Yeah, so here is a pointed question.
Sure.
Your guest started by saying that this law, the way it's applied, is xenophobic because it targets one nationality.
Yeah.
I can put it to him that when this law was promulgated, it also, by his argument, was xenophobic at the time. So why wasn't the argument not made that, no, as Zimbabweans, we don't want this law because it's very xenophobic. It excludes Nigerians and it excludes Kenyans. So I want to put it to him that his argument now is that the law is xenophobic, then it was xenophobic at the stage of promulgation, and they should have rejected it.
Mm. At its inception, it would have been xenophobic because it looked at one particular country with one particular country's concerns.
Certainly. They should have rejected it then, because then any country in the world makes laws for its benefit first. If it disadvantages other nationals, then that's how the dice cast. Because even us as South Africans, whatever law is passed in any other country, it disadvantages us. We can make an argument about that.
Sure.
I'm simply asking him a question. Or if the law is xenophobic now, why was the argument not raised right at the beginning?
Mandla, I hear that particular question. So I'm going to park that question, right? And I'm sure the advocate is listening to that. But I want to ask you this, right? If the particular... Mandla's gone, and I wanted to ask Mandla... I wanted to particularly ask Mandla a question. So, let's go to Mzi in East London. Mzi?
Hello.
Hi, Mzi. Can you hear me? Mzi's not there. I'm seeing we're trying to get Mandla back. Mzi's not there. Elvin? Elvin? Elvin, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yes, Elvin. Sure.
You know, Desiree Taylor.
Yes, sir.
A vision from Power FM, but a regular listener.
All right. Thank you so much, Mzi.
Thank you. You know what? We don't have a problem about this foreigners, Mr. Uh-huh. But the problem I'm having now is those who came up in South Africa to commit a crime. I just hear this your guest there. Talking about those who came from South Africa to go to Zimbabwe and doing business, your fish, at least at Zimbabwe, they are what do you call it? How can I put it in the simplest way?
Sure.
The currency of the Zimbabwean is growing up because of those people who come out from South Africa to do businesses at Zimbabwe. But most of the Zimbabweans, if you can check, they came here to South Africa to commit the crime. I'm not xenophobic, Mr. Ne, but my problem is only those who came to South Africa to commit them. Now, we are doing this, especially in the squatter camps. Squatter camp. You are not living in... I don't know how... you know, these people from Zimbabwe or from Lesotho, wherever, they are killing us on the, in the Scottish camp. They are robbing us our belongings. And then these people from the government, especially the officials, they are not affected because of what these guys are doing in our country. It's not affecting them.
Sure.
Once at least one of the members of the parliament can die because of these people, then some action will be taken.
Okay. Elvin, let's leave it there, Chief. I want to go back to Mzi, and then I'm going to go back to Mandla. But Temba, I also see you, and Lennox, I also see you. Let's go to Mzi in East London. Mzi?
Yeah, Brother Enzel. How
are you? Chief. I'm good, bro.
Sharp.
Sharp, man.
I think your guest, he must go back to his country and fix his country. Because even his country, the justice, you see that they favor Mugabe's party.
Mzi, can you speak up a little bit, Chief? I'm struggling to hear you, and I think the listeners won't hear you. Yeah.
Okay.
Laka.
I think he must go back. You guess he must go back and seek his country. All of this, our brothers in Africa, they must go back now. You see what's happening in this country because of all of these guys here. Even Asians. Pakistan, all of them, they must go back. All of them, they must go back on their countries and come back. We will register them. We document them, all of them. Look at how they are doing in this country, brother. Look at this country. This country is going down to the drain. Our country, our love country, is going to the drain because of these guys. I think he must go back.
Sure. And help the judicial system there.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it's what I'm trying to say.
Sure.
Yes.
Mzi, how are you? Mzi, can I ask you a question? How are you listening to Power 98.7 in East London? How are you getting us, Chief?
After the two listening to Power in 20.
What are you listening to us on channel 889?
Yes, yes.
Ah, brilliant.
I started to listen to you. I was staying in Gauteng for 20 years. I started listening to you in 2014.
Sharp, sharp.
I don't have another radio.
Mzi.
Yes.
Mzi, thank you so much, bro.
Thanks.
Sharp, sharp, my man. Let's go back to Mandla. Mandla, I have a question for you.
Oh, yes, Denzel.
Yeah. Mandla, I was going to ask the question, and I heard the argument you made, right?
Yes.
I was going to ask you this particular question, and the advocate can also comment on it as well. I wanted to say to you this: if a particular country's laws are lax,
yes,
and they have loopholes,
yes,
and those loopholes can be taken advantage of legally,
yes,
right, what stops a person then from doing that? So if a person finds that a particular country's laws are lax and that they're not strong enough, let's, for example, say the United States, for example, and I want to get to the United States, and I find that in the United States, there's a particular way that I can utilize the immigration system so that I can become a resident without having to go through all the loops and whatever it is. And I utilize that, and I utilize it legally because the law is weak. What stops me from doing that? And I say that in the essence of the South African government says our immigration laws are weak. What stops a person then from taking advantage of that legally?
It does not,
sure.
Denzel.
Sure.
However, I was responding to your guest's assertion.
No. I understand that totally. Mine is a totally different question, Chief.
No, I do not have a problem with that.
Yeah.
If your laws are laxed,
yeah,
and
your endeavor.
Yeah, they are amenable to be taken advantage of. They will,
yeah,
up until you change them.
Yeah.
But at the point when you change them, you do not do that to the benefit of what you might term foreigners. You do that to the benefit of your citizens. That
okay.
is the first and foremost.
Sure. Mandla,
thanks,
Mandla Shapru, thanks for coming back.
Okay.
Sharp, Shapru. Let's go to Lennox in Sasselburg. Lennox?
Thank you, Denzel and to your guest.
Sure.
Flee to the advocate on his account of foreign nationals, sure, targeting or profiling.
Yeah.
Look, every foreign national is a guest, mm, and not a citizen, irrespective of nationality.
Mm.
And laws are reviewed to harness them versus purpose.
Mm.
You know, we've had a situation in, for instance, our Home Affairs Department, where the laws seem to have been quite advantageous for being manipulated, mm, in different ways.
Mm.
And, you know, coming to strategics, you know, Zim foreign nationals are the most of any other nation in South Africa.
Mm.
And they are also found right in spaces where the local nationals will need to be accommodated, amongst, mm, other things. When your child is jobless and you have a choice of sharing anybody else but just family, mm, you know, your child is going to be your priority. The country is in dire straits right now. It does not have such luxuries like the West does, for instance, as he was making examples.
Mm.
This is a revamp program, okay, by the current administration to reset into a default stage of being a governable country.
Mm.
We need to have that. It's not an anti-Zim project.
Mm.
It's strategically based on rectifying the most critical pressure points, whatever they are.
Mm.
Xenophobia is a very shortcut notion to exacerbate the problem we have here at home. We have a socio-economic situation,
mm,
you know, though we have an African agenda, but we have to make priority for our local things.
Mm.
Now, South Africa needs to harness its control measures, you know, where they lacked integrity.
Mm.
And it's exactly that that's been done now. South Africa needs to restart its economy more worse post the harshest lockdown we've ever had, and to ensure that it gets to account to its population primarily.
Sure.
That's what I wanted to opine. Thank you.
Sure. That's Lennox in Sasselburg. Timber, I'm going to take you, and then I'm going to go back to the advocate, and then I'm going to ask you to Isaac and David just to hold on for me. I'll take you just a little. I'll take you in a while, but I'm going to take Timber, and then I'm going to go back to the advocate. Timber?
Hi, Denzel. How are you?
Sure, Timber.
I'm fine. There's a slogan by the U.S. Army.
Mm.
It says, Uncle Sam needs you.
Uncle Sam needs you.
Yeah, Uncle Sam needs you.
Yeah.
Zimbabwe needs professionals like the advocate,
mm,
you know, instead of the chauvinistic attitude that is presenting over the radio right now.
Mm.
There are so lawyers employed even by the NPA who are foreign nationals. They are accountants in government.
Mm.
They are doctors. These people need to go to their respective countries to develop those countries and not depend and oppress South Africa like this.
Mm.
That's my say.
Sure. Timba, thank you so much. Let me go back. That's Timba in Deep Slot. But let me go back then. Advocate Simba Chitandu, let's broad brush the conversations that we've just been hearing. And when I say broad brush, I say some of those issues were the same. And some of them particularly, you know, have specific pointers that they do make. So on the issues that are common, you can deal with them in a common way. As a advocate, you'd know how to deal with that. But let's just deal with what some of the callers are saying around foreign nationals, and whether this is something that you hear, whether this is an argument, these are arguments that you have heard before, or these are arguments that you would take in, but you would have, you know, responses to. What would be those responses?
Okay,
sure.
Thank you. I've actually taken, as your guests or other,
sure,
you know, callers calling in, I took notes down.
Okay.
We can
do it. Let's do it that way.
Summarize it.
Yes.
Yeah, I can quickly summarize. Mm-hmm. I think I've got 6 points here.
Sure.
One of the callers said something about why the ZEP wasn't rejected back when it started, I think,
yeah,
12 years ago.
You said if it's xenophobic now, it would have been xenophobic then and should have been rejected then.
Yes, yes.
Sure.
So, yeah, that, with that point, I actually, surprisingly, I agree with him.
Mm.
I think that the ZEP should have been rejected by Zimbabwean nationals back then.
Mm.
But unfortunately, I was not involved in the ZEP back then.
Is that the argument that is that the argument when you said at the beginning of the conversation where you said that particular legislation, the ZEP, exploited Zimbabweans' rights and limited their rights?
Yes, absolutely.
And for that reason, it should have been discarded anyway.
Yeah, I would have rejected it. I would have gone for what foreign nationals of other countries get.
Mm.
We're talking about foreign nationals of the UK who have vast tracts of land, who have mining interests, foreign nationals from Australia and the United States. I would have said that Zimbabweans should have the rights that they have.
Mm.
But many ZEP holders are not lawyers like myself.
Mm.
I am not a ZEP holder, and they did not know that they were being shortchanged back then.
Mm.
But that does not stop them from seeking justice right now.
Mm.
If a person has been a victim of a crime 10 years ago, it doesn't mean that, why did you only report the crime today and not 10 years ago? It doesn't work that way. You are a victim.
Mm.
The other point, and that's obviously something that is before the courts, and the courts make a decision, and the matter will be heard in October.
Mm.
The other point was one of the callers said that foreign nationals are committing crimes, and I took a note here of the nationals. He actually names countries. He says Zimbabweans and Asians.
Mm.
He actually said that. That speaks to the xenophobia that I was discussing earlier. Mm. You're targeting a group that you say are committing crimes and a specific nationality.
Mm.
That cannot possibly be true. If you were to, one of the things I've lived in this country for about 22 years now, one of the things I've seen is South Africa without the EFF, and South Africa with the EFF is one of the biggest parties in the country.
Mm.
And one of the many reasons why it is where it is because the EFF say, not me, the EFF and the people that support the EFF, I would assume, say that the economy has been taken over by foreign nationals of Western descent. We call them white monopoly capital. And they are the criminals that are hurting the economy. That's what they say.
Mm.
But now you're targeting Zimbabweans and Asians.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see the dichotomy, the blame game of saying that a nationality is responsible for all your problems, and not looking at the mirror and saying, why does South Africa have the economic challenges it has? Not a single caller tonight has mentioned the findings in the Zondo Commission of why South Africa's economy is where it is. No one. Not a single caller has talked about the policies that an implementation of the policies by the government in power now, how those decisions have caused economic harm to South Africa. Not a single caller spoke about how the factories and the warehouses that are used to employ South Africans were burnt down, $15 billion destroyed in a week in Durban last year. Right? But we're targeting foreigners. So this is something that is very concerning to me, because we've seen this happen in other countries. We've seen it happen in Uganda. You targeted a group and said that these people causing the problems, they left the economy tanked.
Mm.
Something that we've mentioned, and it goes all the mentioned in the court papers I'm dealing with, the ZEP case, But it goes back to biblical times. It goes back to the days when the Egyptians targeted the Israelites and said that they're responsible for the problems.
Sure.
Everywhere you where that has taken place, the Jews in Germany, the Tutsis in Rwanda, you target a group and you say that they are responsible. They are the foreigners. They must be got rid of, and then our lives will improve.
Mm.
It has always failed.
Sure. Can I ask you a question at this point? And I'm not sure if you finished with your six arguments, but can I ask you a question at this point because you raise that particular point? Are we in this country, in your understanding, having a political or an economic conversation around foreign nationals?
We're having a political. It's a political issue, not an economic issue. I say that because, and with respect to many foreign many South African nationals who are against foreign nationals.
Mm.
When I and the term foreign nationals now, I think it really does speak to Zimbabweans and SADC Africans and expats as for Westerners. That's from what I picked up from the discourse. So we use that discourse. Foreign nationals are the consumers of South African goods and services.
Mm.
The jobs that South Africans want, they get because the good or the service that they make and then sell is bought by the foreign nationals, the Zimbabweans that you're targeting.
Mm.
Right? So when you target your customer, they will stop buying what you sell.
Mm.
That is already happening. And my fear is it ends up being a snowball where the more that you target foreign nationals and the harder you make it for foreign nationals to do business with South Africans, the more the unemployment in this country for South Africans goes
up.
And then the more xenophobia that takes place. That is where, and it just gets worse and worse and worse until South Africa is completely isolated. And I'm saying this with respect as a Zimbabwean, because I have seen this happen in Zimbabwe when Zimbabweans, the land reform process, the manner in which it took place, became aggressive against white Zimbabweans, and the effect that it had then damaged Zimbabwe, and it is still reeling from that. So that is something that I would like South Africans to really start thinking about. The course that is being followed historically has always turned out negative for the host country.
Sure.
In every single, it's been going on. I mean, when I studied history as a child at school, we were told, well, look, you know, one thing that has always happened, why history is important, not is because history always repeats itself. And it's politicians who really ought to be students of history. And the ANC, I think, made a big mistake this past weekend. They should have looked at every other country that has done what they intend to do and see what is the effect. You cannot possibly believe that the people you're targeting are just going to sit back and allow themselves to be so targeted. Newton's law, every action has equal and opposite reaction. Does the ANC really think that the rest of Africa is not going to respond equally and opposite towards South Africa? Do you really think that that will not happen? It will happen. And you will lose more jobs.
Advocate, I want to talk about that retaliation, because you adamant that, you know, the South African continent will look at South Africa and begin to say, well, you know, if this is how you're engaging fellow Africans, well, we're going to do the same. Let's go back to the lines, and then I want to close the conversation with you. Let's go to Isaac in Tembisa. Isaac?
Hello, Denzel, how are you?
Sure, Isaac.
Yes, the advocate, I have a worry with the advocate when he start talking about the CEOs and all stuff. Mm. The South Africans are not fighting with the people who are doing the good job in this country when they are foreigners.
Mm.
The problem of the South African is that the crime is high.
Mm.
Understand?
Yeah.
So let me tell the advocate one thing that maybe he doesn't know. I was at the time I was in Limpopo. I was at the farmer before 2005. The Zimbabwean people, they were not hired on that farm until Mbeki announced that in 2006 or 2007, I can't remember, but 6 maybe.
Mm.
So when they came here, things started go higher and higher and higher, like the crime that I'm talking about.
Mm.
So if you're saying the CEO is there at Zimbabwe, that CEO, if I may ask, that CEO is there illegally or legally?
Mm.
That is my first question, because it seems like he doesn't understand what is the problem of the South African people.
Sure. What's your second question, Isaac?
So the question, second question is that at Zimbabwe, how many illegally people there in Zimbabwe?
Okay. Isaac, I'm going to leave it there. Isaac, David in Pretoria. David?
Hello, Madenzo.
Hey, Tachif.
Hey, Kinjani.
Ah, sharp, bro.
You just invited somebody who doesn't know the truth. He's running away from the truth. Denzo.
Yeah.
These people are killing us. These people are killing us with drugs, everything, man. And we see it. We see it live every day. But we have to feel pity for them.
Mm.
You know, Denzel.
Is it Zimbabweans, though? Is it Zimbabweans, though,
Zimbabwe,
though, David?
Tanzanians, Nigerians, Lesotho, they hate us. They pretend as if they love us. They know deep down their heart.
Mm.
They have jealousy for us. They hate us. They want us to fire the whites in our country, whereas we saw where there is no whites in the whole 54 states of Africa. They failed.
Mm.
Junior Achebe, the capitalist nigga, wrote that book. He was talking directly what is happening about the black people. They will run all over the planet, running away from their responsibilities. There is no men in Africa.
Mm.
How many people are there in the Mediterranean Sea running to another continent? Why they don't fix it? Their problems. Every time they want to blame the white, and the white man is the one who make televisions, cell phones, everything. Them, they get independence before us.
Sure.
But they fail. They done nothing, even a pencil, even nothing. But now, because they can go to university of the white people, they think they are educated, they can convince us. My man, tell that man he must go to Zimbabwe and fix that Mnangagwa's problem. It's not our problem. Our problem is our problem. It's not Zimbabwe's problem. Thank you, sir.
David in Pretoria. Let's go to Thato in Sandton. Thato?
Yeah, I think I agree with David, but at an intellectual level, I think the advocate is trying to use the instruments of the law to advance this pan-Africanism that has not worked. I think in a nutshell, that's what David is saying. He's saying pan-Africanism hasn't worked. Give us the opportunity as South Africans to map, to find our problems. We have 19 million people who are living on social grants.
Mm.
We need to feed those people. We cannot have a situation where failed states, since Nigeria got its independence in the 1960s,
mm.
Zimbabwe got its independence in the 1980s, they have not been in any position to fix their countries. Let them allow us, let them give us the chance to fix our country,
mm.
to fix our problems, and to fix our problems with our white people.
Sure.
We are more than happy to do it. We can't have a situation where now the entire Africa flocks into South Africa and they help us destroy our country. We don't want to destroy our country.
Thato,
and we'll look after our country. Yes.
Thato, I want to ask you this.
Yes.
The guest is an advocate.
Yes.
Yeah, the guest is an advocate, and you say he wants to use instruments of the law, which absolutely are what he does in his professional space.
Yes.
So that's what he's doing. He's using the instruments of the law to protect people that he thinks need particular protection from an immigration law that he thinks is discriminatory towards them. And he wants to use that instrument of the law.
Yeah, no. I agree with him, but his understanding of the political economy of Africa and the history of Africa is flawed. He has said, if we were to sit him in a lecture hall and were to scrutinize some of the things he said, he'll be murdered. He's not going to. What the stuff he said there will not stand the test of time in any academic space. Don't use the instruments of the law to force this narrow pan-Africanism that has clearly failed. Give us, as South Africa, give us the opportunity to fix our country. We can't, at a very low level, at township levels, the drug problem that we have, the socio-economic problems that we have, there is no way you're going to deny the fact that foreign nationals have contributed largely to that. Mm. And I'm not recusing colonialism. We're not recusing apartheid. Yes, it's part of it. But over and above that, we have a problem of undocumented people who have flooded their boundaries and who have brought some level of crime. And I don't want this middle class sentence argument where academics are writing adverts at the immigration center. They're writing that, no, actually, foreign nationals have nothing. They don't take jobs and whatever. You don't live that. That type of research is flawed. Go to grassroots level. Go to shops in and restaurants in some of our major cities. There's nothing normal with places being flooded by internationals. Low level jobs in a middle income country flooded by foreign nationals. There's nothing. This is not Qatar. This is not Dubai, where people have absolute obscene levels of money and they can afford to appoint foreign nationals at that level. We need our people to work at those levels.
Tato, thank you. That's Tato in Sandton. Let's go to Louis in Soweto. Louis?
Denzel,
yes,
you are wrong on the basis that you're saying the advocate is using. He's not using, he's abusing the instrument of law.
No, I'm suggesting what Tato said. Tato said he's using the instruments of the law. You're saying he's abusing the instrument of the law.
He is. He's very abusing the instrument of the law on the basis that he's provoking emotions of the South African. And to me, he's more xenophobic than the actual South African that he thinks they are xenophobic. Because in actuality, even where he started, he was addressing the law of Aaron. And of, I'm happy that some came to correct him. You see, that's where the attitude comes in. And it provoked the emotion to most of the South Africans. Because initially, it doesn't mean by the 1st of January 2023, we will not be having Zimbabweans here. There will be. We have given the scope to say there are other categories. We are just eliminating one category and aligning it to other categories that are optional for them to apply. So allow us as a country to scrutinize who must be in this country. We have a serious social programs that we need to deal with as a country. So let them give us the space. Let him go and apply his expertise in his countries. Let him go and practice his human rights in his own countries. We respect human rights in this country, and we are going to respect Zimbabweans as they are going to be abandoned by our laws.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you, Louis. Let's go to Mandla in Soshanguve. Mandla?
Mr. Denzel, thank you for taking my call. Eh?
Absolutely, bro.
Mr. Denzel, you know, our so-called African brothers and sisters, they are taking us for our kindness for foolishness, you know? They come with this human rights and all this free South Africa. You know, South Africa is like a free country. Everyone just comes, just want to come in and force themselves onto us, you know? I respect the advocate, but with all due respect, these people, they should go back to their own countries and fix whatever that is making their people to come this side. We can't, Mr. Denzel. you know, have people who come here only to come and rape our women. There was a Zimbabwean who raped plus minus eight South African ladies. These guys, they were nowhere to be found, you know. They were mum. Even the Human Rights Commission, these commissions, they were mum. They were saying nothing. We've got the issue of Amagomagoma there by the Limpopo borders. You know, they are killing, raping people. Mosinas, farmers are even running away from that side. We should, yes, I'm xenophobic when we are saying all of these things. Yes, we are xenophobic when we are protecting our own country from people who are not here because of their good deeds. They are here because they are running away from their own country, you know, coming and doing evil things in this country. And we should be quiet about them. Because immediately when we speak, we are xenophobic. Yes, we are xenophobic when we are protecting our own country and our own resources. Our cars get stolen to Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe is the end route for these criminals from Africa who are coming here to steal and destroy this country. We are tired, Mr. Denzel. We are tired.
Sure. Mandla, you know? Mandla, let's leave it. Zonia in Rosalind, Pretoria. Zonia?
Hello, Denzel.
Sure, hey, sure.
Wonderful program. How are you?
I'm good, man.
Let me just say this.
Wait a minute. Is it Zonia?
Zonia, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. The rain that does not fall blames the wind.
The rain that does not fall blames the wind.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's because the winds are supposed to bring the clouds so that the clouds can make the rain fall.
Mm.
And now what happens is, the clouds were gathering above our head or elsewhere, and the rain fell.
Uh-huh.
So we don't know who to blame, because when we have a problem, we must blame someone, or we must have a scapegoat. If we don't have a scapegoat, that problem is not a problem.
Mm.
Now, because we have a problem at our hand, we have to find someone to blame. Legally, the advocate has actually really... scholastically pronounced it very clearly. And yet, in his pronouncement also, he's advocating for kind of like the general spirit of Ubuntu, which he doesn't know that it does not extend beyond the borders defined by the foreigners or these Western powers. So now, what we're faced with is this. What do we have to do now in order to solve our problems with or without the foreigners? Because the thing is, it's not only foreigners who commit crime here. Indigenous people commit crimes too. But the problem is not foreigners or indigenous people. Mm-hmm. It is crime.
Sure. Sonia, thank you so much. I'm going to go to Angela in Pretoria. Angela?
Hi, Denzel. How are you?
Hello, Angela.
I'm your listener. I'm a power listener. I'm your listener. I've been following you throughout.
Thank you.
From midnight when you change up to now. It's just that I don't participate a lot, but I do call.
Thank you so much, Angela.
Denzel, South Africans is the most caring nation. I think so. Mm-hmm. It is. And they have examples. Zimbabweans have examples about South Africa.
Mm.
We've catered for them for years. We never had issues.
Mm.
But I don't understand the situation where you find yourself catering for people. The people come inside, they mobilize within, fighting the same system, fighting the constitutions, fighting the policies of this country for themselves, selfishly doing that for themselves. They don't care about the issues that are being raised by South Africans. The advocate has been... the lawyer there has been counting the people who are, one person was banned, this and that. How about many crises that we faced through these foreign nationals who are illegal in this country? So it's a very selfish motive that he is there. We understand they are trying so hard, they are fighting, you know, but they are no longer safe for us if themselves can't raise each other and correct each other. If they can't even talk to each other and stand up with us against the criminals that are coming with them, because obviously millions are in this country. How many South Africans are in Zimbabwe? So it's not a matter of statistics and numbers. but it's a matter of respecting our policies, regulations, constitution of this country. We've catered for these people, they know it. So it's time we release them to go back and maybe focus on their country, build their country. We are here also to assist. We've assisted. It's time also they focus more on building themselves to the Zimbabwe that it was, the basket of Africa that it was. They destroyed, they killed it, they stole everything. They have the land. They are famous land that they claim they've got. What has it benefited them? What is the value of Zimbabweans? They are roaming around the world. It's not only in South Africa. It's just that they are taking advantage of South Africa. They are all over the world. Why can't they mobilize like South Africa did during apartheid? They need to mobilize themselves, get support from us throughout Africa, throughout the world, and go back and fix that country. They can't be running from that country forever. They need to go back and fight there. We are here. We are supporting them. But we are saying, Zimbabwe, stand up. Reclaim who you are. Go and fight back there. Stop fighting us here in our country. We are trying. We are making means to reinstate this country to what it is. Let them go, Denzel, please.
Angela, thank you. Angela, will you call more often?
I will.
Thank you, Angela. Thank you. Bafana in Madrid, you're my last caller.
Evening, sir. How are you?
I'm good, Bafana.
Yeah, thanks. I see the conversation have narrowed to Zimbabwe specifically. I was hoping the advocate will make it broad so that it can't be narrowed to that extent. But anyway, let me say my point. First, I have two questions. One question, what is the difference between South Africa and South African?
Between
South Africa?
Yeah.
What is South Africa and what is South African?
Okay. And that's the question?
Yeah, that's my question.
Sure.
To people who don't understand. But now the thing is, truly speaking, I never supported this issue of permits. I believe the advocate, they must understand South Africans are saying they want their space. So it's simple. Let's give them their space. And let's respect their voice. But as much as we are saying that the transition must be done according to the law in a correct way, because I can guarantee you now, from now until the time when specifically Zimbabweans get to their land, many South Africans will be stateless, if you get what I mean.
Sure.
Like now, if the minister says they want to correct the Home Affairs policies from 1960, I can tell you now, there are many people here who are now South Africans, but our fathers were never South Africans, like Herman Mashaba. It's a non-fact. They're all over the place. It's a non-fact.
Okay.
The Naledi Tshiru that the people mock all the time, it's a non-fact. But let's correct that. But what I'm saying, if we have to do it, let's do it in a correct way.
Sure.
Let's not just jump up and down and then fight and then bite each other.
Let's do it in the correct way, Bafana.
No one is going to win.
Sure. Bafana, let me leave it there. Advocate, let me ask you this. Are you used to the kind of sentiments that you're hearing here on Power 98.7? Is this some the language? Is that the kind of language when these issues are raised that you tend to hear?
Oh, thank you.
Sure.
I have heard some of these points mentioned in social media. I sometimes go to my Twitter feed and I see some of these sentiments. They are unfortunate. And I think it's a good thing that you brought this up in this conversation so we can actually go into it. I would like to respond to some of what has been said for the benefit of not just the audience, but the individuals themselves. And I hope that they can listen, really listen, and understand what I have to say. I want to start off with the lady that she said something very powerful for me. She said that we're not considering the, well, I'm not considering, and the people that I represent perhaps are not considering South Africans' views in this matter. And the circumstances of South Africans in this matter. And in response to her, I would like her and anyone else who thinks the way that she thinks to know that I am specifically thinking about her and this country. I am specifically speaking because I want the best for South Africa. The reason why I would like the best for South Africa is because South Africa is Zimbabwe's biggest trading partner. It is our neighbor.
Mm.
We are a landlocked country. We have to go through other countries to access the world. So we would like a stable, safe, strong South Africa for that to take place. A South Africa where populism, where hate, where xenophobia, where targeting other African nationals takes place will not build South Africa. It would not have heard, let you fix your country, we fix our country. It doesn't work that way. You know, what happens is if you target your neighbor, you're not fixing your country.
Mm.
You're not. At the moment, we have in the Northern Hemisphere, Russia and Ukraine at each other's necks. That is what happens when two countries that are neighboring each other get at each other. It is awful. It doesn't fix. No one is fixed. What needs to take place for South Africans to get jobs, and I'd like the lady that calls all her family members to get jobs, for her family members to get jobs, people need to buy the goods and services that they sell.
Mm.
If your neighbors are not buying your goods and services, they won't get jobs, or not in the number that you'd like. The next point I'd like to deal with was on the laws and the abuse of laws. By going to court, there's somehow an abuse of the law, at least in my regard. All the laws of this country, every single one of them, was developed by Parliament. Every single member of Parliament is a South African. Every single judge in this country is a South African. These are not my laws. They're not Zimbabwean laws. They are South Africa's laws. There can be no abuse. It is the judges are South African. Right? So there's nothing to fear. There's no reason for anyone, any South African, to feel afraid. And the other point that I think is important to realize is that on the issue of Pan-Africanism, I think one of the callers spoke about Pan-Africanism being a failed concept in this country, at least. Pan-Africanism brought South Africa about. Every single South African president was in exile in Africa, two of whom, Jacob Zuma and Thabo Mbeki, were exiled in Zimbabwe. Pan-Africanism is what made, what birthed this country. And South Africa is not alone. Pan-Africanism also gave birth to Zimbabwe, where I'm from. Pan-Africanism is what made every single African country what it is today. No African country has been able to get off the ground without another African country.
Mm.
Every African country, and this is important because we were talking about history, every African country that has turned its back on Pan-Africanism has suffered. Every one of them. Uganda suffered because it turned its back on Pan-Africanism. It's changed. Rwanda suffered. It has now changed. It is now growing. It is now embracing the rest of the African continent. It is now seen as a leader in Africa, and its economy is strong because of Pan-Africanism. Morocco left the AU. They're now asking and begging to come back into the African Union because they realize that that's just where the money is being made, that they want to be part of this regional growth. Every country that turns its back on its neighbor fails. And if you just think of a country as a house, many of the callers talked about South Africa as their house. Mm. You cannot live as an island. No house thrives when it is at loggerheads with its neighbor.
Advocate?
It doesn't work that way.
Advocate?
Yes.
It's 12 o'clock. What I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you this. Okay. I have found the conversation extremely interesting. I have found the arguments and from a legal perspective very interesting. And I've spoken to my producer here as well, whereby we really want to continue with this conversation tomorrow. And if you're available, we'd really, really want to do that. There's so many aspects brought up by the callers and so many other aspects of the conversation I want to engage as well. So I'd really, really ask that we continue with this conversation tomorrow. I mean, I don't generally do that, but in this instance, I really do want to. So I'm asking, and Tumelo will then deal with the logistics of how we pursue this conversation on this platform tomorrow as well and continue in where we left off today. Would you be amicable to that?
I'm a mic of all. You can get hold of me at a time and I will get back to you guys. Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for that. Thank you so much. And that's Advocate Simba Chitondo, Advocate of the South African High Court. And of course, we are talking here about the South African immigration laws and aspects thereof as well. What an interesting conversation and what interesting comments from your side, what interesting perspectives from his side as well.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.